Blog Talk Radio.
Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith at Dr. Lorinda Smith Whitney, number one. And on Instagram, we're so glad to have an opportunity to partner with the brothers of Party Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated down in Greenville, Alabama. We have an opportunity through Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville, number 10, is the Instagram. And we want to be partners with them because we can share our vessel, and they wanted to make sure they could help us get the word out. Thank you, the brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. You know, those guys down there, we're so glad to have an opportunity for to be a part of this, but I'm a part of that chapter as well, so I'm glad and excited to have an opportunity to be the one in the lead way here. Also, on Facebook, you have an opportunity to be a part of this. That's facebook.com/DRLDRBrutalSmith. You can be on that. If you're not following, you're not a friend of it, just send a request and we'll make sure we get you hooked up so you can be a part of it. This is what it's all about. It's all about giving the word out. And so I'm so glad to have an opportunity to do that. I have some awesome people that join me as co-hosts from time to time. And sometimes they just step in as experts, sharing that thought and that expertise. I want to make sure I give a shout-out for those individuals who may come on later or may not be on the line. But I'm going to wait to give the raving introduction to that person that's on the line as of now so I can make sure that I have her to just kind of lead into where we're going after I introduce her. We have also these individuals take their time, volunteer their time. And I'm so blessed to have people like that because they want to see the vessel expand so everybody have a part of the, of this. We have several co-hosts this morning. Hells from Central Alabama. None other than that's Coach with the K underscore Lauren underscore Smith. That's Lauren B. Smith. Hells from the state of Georgia. So glad to have her. She's working really hard, trying to flex on her business over there. They were using McKinsey & Associates and is shopping items for home products. And none other than Dr. Olivia E. Smith. And if you want to check her out and check her company out, you can give her a call at 404-862-3800. Also, we have another person and several other people that's a part of this. But joining us from the state of Florida. It's been a challenging time with her. I know she has some ups and downs, but we all do. We have some obstacles and we have some challenges. And that's dealing with certain things that's happening in the community down there. Things are beginning to bust at the seam, but she's still hanging in there. She helped me originally from the state of Ohio, born in Cleveland, Ohio. Managed to migrate and been down in South Florida for many years. She's in Boca Raton, Florida. None other than Lisa Levine. Also, we have out of the state of California, she's doing some awesome things. She has boots on the ground. And I'm telling you, she's going to be keeping up, and she had an awesome program this weekend where she was able to just allow her brand to really grow. Only my own truth. This person gives it all. She's been there, and now she's helping others that's there to get out of there. None other than Tina Robinson from Oakland, California. This person is never least. Maybe mentioned last, but not least. She's a true special person to me because she's my sister of the Blue White family. Member of the Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and even a finer womanhood. Hells out of the state of South Carolina. So glad to have her joining us tonight, none other than Sara Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Sara?
I'm doing fine tonight. How's my big brother doing?
Oh, your big brother's doing fine over here. He's hanging on the best he can. When they throw a lifeline, I reach and grab it. When it begins to break, I reach beyond the break. Because I've been trying to hold on just a little while longer. Awesome, my sister.
Right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to have you tonight because we're going to focus on some things that are happening that it affects us in our neighborhood, but it from block to block, because we always, that's what we talk about. When we're talking about issues, yeah, we're talking nationally, international, we're talking about state, but we always focus on your neighborhood, because whatever is going on the national affects you on the local level. Sometimes we don't look at it. We are more of a grassroots level. We want to work our way up, because look, we have some awesome ideas. We have some awesome people down on the grassroots level that we don't think and look to see what they have to see, because they have some things they want to share. So we want to focus on where we are today. Are we at normalcy today? That's the title of our show tonight. We want you to be a part of it. Make sure you give us a call at 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I identify with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll ask you to offer you the location if you choose the name. Then offer your comments, your expertise, whatever you have to say about the topic we have tonight. I'm looking for others to join us in a few minutes, but we're going to kind of get our show started. We want to thank all the individuals that are watching and listening to WBSW Internet Talk Radio. We're so glad to have that opportunity to continue to expand every day to our members of the Divine Nine. Thank you for taking time as well, checking us out, because I'm looking at Instagram. Several are joining in. Some of them are flashing in and flashing out, but I'm going through Zeta Phi Sigma chapter out of Greenville, Alabama. They're on their Instagram, and they're making sure to work it out. So we just want to make sure we can look at some things tonight to determine are we at the point of a normalcy now, or just we're moving in the right direction, even with some of the challenges we are having. Some people, as they are saying, we're asking you to be careful, not careless, even if you have had the vaccine. That's what we're asking you, even if you haven't. Be careful and not careless. So we're going to look at a couple of topics related to several things. And truly, I want to talk about education, being that my cohort that's on the show tonight and the co-host on the show, she understands with education. We always talk about what can we do to prepare our young people for the future. There's a lot of money that's been relief funds that's been sent out called relief, COVID-19 relief education funds. The question is, will those funds be able to help our students? And I'm going to put a little wrinkle here, because this is a lot of times just because funds go down, we think about the school, we forget about one of the most important part of the school, the parent. The parent is very important. See, sometimes we forget about the parents. We don't include them, we exclude them. So tonight, we want to talk about exactly, with all of this money being trickled down, some universities are getting millions of dollars, some school systems are getting millions of dollars, really be there to help our children and help our parents. Because of the last 15 months, it's been challenging for everybody, but for our children, it's been a really uphill battle. We're caught up in a situation, yes, a lot of people now are beginning, many districts are beginning to come up with some remediation. But can we replace 15 months of not having it? Because of the lack of internet, because of the lack of parents not being able to work with their children, because of the lack of just not understanding so much uncertainty as we move in life. Scarlett, I want you to jump in and share your thoughts about that relief fund, how that relief fund, will it help our children and our parents so we can kind of move forward into our 2021-22, see, I had to get it together, academic year. Scarlett.
Well, I'm hoping, like you are, that it will. Because there are millions of dollars funded into this, put into this fund to do just that, to give a lot of relief and a lot of hope. But let me just tell you what my problem is with it. As with all federal dollars that come into all these systems, the school system or whatever system, housing, urban renewal or whatever case may be, when it's coming down, the folks, when it gets to the state level that are managing these funds, are they really getting to the areas where they were specifically designed to help? You see, Washington, the federal government, the president, and those can get all this stuff approved. Well, it's been kind of difficult, but he did get this $2 trillion package approved, this COVID relief fund, to do that. But just like with the monies that were approved to help those in small businesses, you know, to get back on their feet, their first round of money, it really didn't get to where it needed to get. And that's always my concern, because if, you know, pre-COVID, if the dollars were not being used like they were designed to be used, you know, the money's there, but everybody's not getting it. It's not distributed equally or equitably, you know, in certain districts, and districts that have really poor track records of already doing that. Is this just going to be more of the same? You know, in South Carolina, years ago, there was a film that talked about the I-95 corridor, which goes through the low country of South Carolina. And these schools that were, you know, 100 years old plus, wires hanging from the wall, paint chipping off the walls, not having the ventilation system in these old schools to keep students healthy. So we're going to see more of the same. You know, it depends on, to me personally, who is managing the money that's coming to the states. And in these red states, are we going to be getting the funding that has been designated, or is going to be playing politics with the money and you never see it? That's my problem, because if things go through, the proposal is starting having school for children 3 years old, not daycare, but actual school. And I'm a big proponent of that, because kids can play at home or in the park or rec centers, whatever. But we need to start earlier, really getting the foundation and the basics with our children. And for our kids who are most often behind the eight ball before they even get started, that's where a lot of resources really need to go to. And I'm like Lisa, a lot of money also be funded into the emotional and mental health of our children, because they've gone through a real trying time. Now, they're adaptable, and a lot of kids will be able to bounce back, but there are going to be other kids who also will still suffer through all this because of academics, emotional stress, and things of this nature. So it's a lot on the plate, and hopefully we'll see what happens, but I'm taking a wait and see, Doc, you know, on this one.
Awesome, awesome. And I want to jump in right here, because it's so important that I want to look at it a little bit wide vision. The thing about it, the money is going to be sent to these districts, because I know they're using it now. The money from the relief plan is being used now. So, for example, in the area I'm in, they normally in a summer school setting, they may have 2,700. They got 1,200 students enrolled in school for this summer, for an 8-week program. So it's only being done because it was funneled into Title I, but I think the money's getting, there's sometimes when it gets to that level where it's supposed to be, a lot of times it's not planned. See, planning is important. And I think that's why we talk about a relief fund. What is the planning at the local level? Yes, we may not get everything, but whatever you get, you got to have a plan that works with it. I think we have kind of lost that picture. We got to give accountability to those individuals. You, Scarlett, as well as myself, I know I was in rural schools. I retired from a rural school system. I was in a urban system as well that had money, but I've seen that system change tremendously because of the fight that has occurred to them. It seems like there's been a lot of mismanagement too. So the point is, we have to come up with a plan and have a plan that's to the point where everybody can see that plan. See, the problem we have, because we're so unsure about it, because we don't know what individuals are doing, because they're not transparent. And I think that's the key. With this ought to be transparency. And the question is all about, I mean, the statement is all about, how are they going to help students? Yeah, we can help students by having this summer program. And the system, this particular system, I know, have over 20 27,000 students in the school system in the summer relief program to kind of help them based on that money. You got 12,000 there, but you got to remember 27,000 was affected by pandemic. So if you're only going to be here 12, there's 15,000 either think they got it or they don't need it or they're not going to care about it. So we have to have a plan, but that's, we have to have a plan when we're in the leadership role. And we don't have enough plans being rolled out by our district to let people know what's going on. Don't be excited because I heard a leader of one of the districts was, oh, we never had these many people in summer school or summer remediation or hire them for promotion, whatever. You're excited about the numbers, but what was your plan? Did you not plan for that? Don't you not need that? Realize since our students were not in school because of the pandemic and we were using virtual learning, we haven't adjusted that. We're still working on that. You can realize if you have those doors open, they're going to come. Some are going to send them back. So what is the plan? I think it's all really truly about the funds being planned and used correctly. Sometimes I think we forget about what we need to do, you know, in regards to accountability. And I just think that's so important. And for our parents, something we did talk about, I know Scarlett's going to jump in right there with the Scarlett, with the parents in a minute. I think parents need to be involved with this. Sometimes some of the problems that we have is because we always say, well, the parents, you know, they can't work with the students on this. But, you know, you can be a parent. I always told parents when I was dealing with them and telling them, I said, let's make sure you help your child at home by doing what, making sure they do their work. Don't let them come and tell you that they don't have any homework. Children have homework every day because whatever they cover in that class that they always tell them, they can go at home and work with it. Spend 30 minutes to an hour in a parent job when you take time to make sure your child touches bases. One of the things that I found out, even myself, I was reading a study, said young ladies, especially girls, even children, works a lot better when they parent, their father is involved with them. So I'm not talking about where father's not. I'm not in the home where I was. So I made it a great effort, even though I was working and driving and commuting sometimes 2 to 3 hours to make sure I get back to spend time with my children so they would see when I could talk, but, you know, go over to work with them. So the thing about being a parent is important. So the funds need to go toward helping them understand how to work with their children to make them better. You don't have to know everyone. You have to make sure he sit down and do the work and not tell you that he's going to have it. You can jump in right there, start.
Well, basically, that's so true. And you and I have been in the trenches for quite a few years. And the thing, too, is that when parents would say that to me, you know, coming in for conferences and everything, well, I didn't know they had homework. And my question was to them, you've gone through school. You've had some schooling, whether you finished or not. You know, and did you ever go through your entire school career, however short or long it was, and not have homework?
Come on,
the dark ages, we had homework, and through the present ages, we still have homework. So, you know, I don't let, you know, and when they would look at me, and it would startle them because they say, well, yeah, you know, don't let your child come on and tell you they didn't have the homework. You're not going through an entire year or any of our school program and not have some type of homework. You get things that send out the first of the year to tell you how much homework a child's going to have every night. It's called a syllabus or a curriculum guide. And the only thing you need to do as a parent is read it and underline. Right. You know, even if you don't read the whole thing, just get the key points. Homework, when the grades are reported, when they come out, when the first semester exams are, second semester exams are, when the testing, state testing is done or whatever, and conferences. Those are just general basic things you need to have and need to know.
Come
for
on.
Children at school. The same thing that happened for you when you were in school. Whether you finished high school, went on to college or whatever case may be. School is school, folks. Block by block, school is still school in America.
Yes, it
now,
is.
You know, nothing changed still school.
Exactly.
And if you go back to the 1800s, what happened, what most things that happened in school then happen in school today in 2021. Grades, conferences, testing. That's school in America.
That's school in America. And parents should always get involved with school. And we have to always keep that in mind. You know, one of the things I will say, some agree and disagree about the pandemic, it did pull us back in the home for a period of time. So we can't spend time with our children finding out exactly what they're doing and knowing what they're doing. We get so busy trying to get the mega bucks, and we sometimes forget about the most important part of our life, and that's sometimes our family and our children. So the thing about the relief fund, we're hoping there is something in place to help parents to be able to cope and know, have some training sessions, help them to understand that there's assignments every day. You may not know exactly the concentrated area. You might not be an expert on both. Again, if you spend some time with them making sure they do it, that goes a long way for them being successful. You know, there may be many studies out that may say that, but we have to. And this pandemic from March of 2020 allowed us to do that. Now, if you didn't use it, then shame on you. You use that time to work with those phases that you was not working with. Some don't get mad. I'm okay with it. But the truth is the truth. We got to be real with each other. We expect we can put a band-aid on everything we do. We expect we can throw money at everything we can do. Sometimes it's just doing what you know what to do. And if you don't, ask somebody, because it's so important. It's so important.
Exactly.
You can move to the next topic.
And we've got to stop being quiet, because back during the day, you know, teachers did home visits. In my school, as a principal, I had my teachers doing home visits. When we knew the parents were not going to come in or whatever, you got to knock on the door. You know, we're going to be out there. We're going to talk to you because we want to get you engaged in your child's education and in your child's learning. I'm not seeing enough. You know, we're quiet. We're not raising sand and not in an ugly way, but being vocal about our children's education. You know, we got schools where when the children went through the hybrid learning, you know, some days in, then some days in person with all the precautions and everything inside some schools. But in some places where kids did not have internet service or the broadband, you know, even to connect to the services, you know, did anybody go out and try to find these children? Did anybody go out and try to check to see why these children have not, or were they just left out there and being invisible? We don't have invisible kids. You know, every child should have been touched in some way to make sure that they got what they needed. And yes, it started with planning, because there are 3 or 4 months before they even went into the lockdown situations with the hybrid learning. There was time for a school district or school to plan. How are you going to touch every child in that school to make sure that they are getting what they need? You know, and I just really have a problem with those areas where that didn't happen. And then I have a problem with the parents, because if somebody was not trying to connect with your child or you, you know, what did you do? Because I'll tell you right now, you know, I would expect to be at somebody's door, calling, or whatever case may be. And, you know, you and I both had parents that children were in special needs programs, and rightfully so. And the ones that always advocated for their child, making sure they got their learning and help with their disabilities, their learning disabilities. You know, sometimes we had to send Concord. We know it's going to be another 2-hour conference and hear the whole life story. But one thing about it, after they left, you better make sure you get these kids what they need. You got to put yourself out there. And I kind of kind of laughed about this week, you know, or last week when this was blowing up with, what's her name, Monique, the comedian or the actress. and she's talking about, you know, the head rags and scars and coming in wearing pajama bottoms and stuff, and, you know, going out in public. A lot of folks blew up on social media, you know, about that. Well, are we blowing up on social media about our children being educated?
Come on.
Do we get upset because your child is a year and a half behind in school? Somebody's child, a year and a half behind in school? Isn't that enough? That's not enough to make you mad? Or make you want to get engaged?
On,
and make you want to demand that these services and this relief fund money is out there for your child or your children, your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren? You know, some things we get upset about is so trivial compared to the things that we need to get upset about.
Exactly.
Because when you're talking about the time being behind in learning, you're affecting an entire child's career, their future. That's a lot of time to make up. That's a lot of time to make up. You know, we did summertime, you know, with summer schools. I don't know about your summer school, Doc, but my summer school, you know, we're making up, you know, a couple of months. Or if a child has been ill, you know, most of the years, you know, trying to make sure we shore them up and get them the foundation. But when you're talking about a year and a half, that's critical to how a child's going to be as they get older and go through the educational system. It's a sin and a shame.
Yes, it is. And not to cut Scarlett off right there, I want y'all to understand, being an educator, retired educator, we already had that saying about if a child failed 1 year, and 67% of them chance they're going to graduate. If failed 2 years, they're going to be 33% chance of graduating high school. Now, if they fail 3 years, that's a good chance they're going to be maybe a dropout. I know we have different changes, we have different things, but just think about the 15 months the children have been out of school. We worry about what affected us as individuals and adults, but what about the children? They lost 15 months, and we think we're going to cover it in 8 weeks. We cannot cover it in 8 weeks because not only is the ideal of them not being in school, not getting the education, the other thing comes along with it too as well. See, we have to have a plan to address this situation. Addressing that our children, and you can't throw money at it. See, every time we want to fix something, we want to throw money at it. It's going to require you to come and put your heads together, parents, community, school system, and including the students, to know what they need to learn. See, we got a problem, we think, as educators and leaders, that we can come and make a decision for everybody else, especially for the people you truly, truly can't operate without, which is students and their parents. See, too many times we do that, and that's where we're going to have that challenge. I don't care how much money you throw at it and what they do with the money. If you don't have a plan to use the money right, sometimes you're going to have to be held accountable for it if you use it wrong. That's another thing you want to do for. Call it up, this 347-857-4192. I want to give a shout out to many of the individuals who joined us. We have Ms. Bush, EDS, thank you for joining. Korean_Zeta, members of Zeta, by Leadership Morgan Incorporated. We have Nikki_Design123. Also, we have MC Debate, Brother Bate, a Baker of Fire Leadership Fraternity Incorporated. Over here we have Latane Pickett with truly inspired to inspire, built to Sigma Theta Sorority. We also have Tasiba Jackson joining us as well. Thank you, Tasiba. We also have Sherry Preston, one of my students back in the 80s. It's so good to be, and get a chance to be able to connect, and I, you know they there, and they know I'm here trying to hopefully make a difference in someone's life. Our next topic we're going to jump on, Scarlett, is dealing with social promotion, because you know that's what's happening. You know, we know a lot of districts, and it's been talked, so people don't act like you bury your head in the sand. The thing is that you can't, in most cases, in some situations, you can't fail that child because of the pandemic. because of the lack of technology. So that means we're going to move them. I call it another form of social promotion. Social promotion didn't work 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's going to be a challenge for our young people because they have missed 15 months of real work. They have missed the opportunity for a prerequisition. Well, of course, that they're going to take the next year. My scary thing about that, and you can jump in right when you need to, Scott, is that all we're doing is setting them up for failure. That's all we're doing. We're setting them up for failure. They're not, you're going to promote them this year, and they're going to fail next year. Because they
lost. See, I don't believe in wholesale retention in the first place. You know, I'm going to tell you a story, and this is a true story of my life where when I was still in counseling, I had been assigned to this middle school, and I was heartbroken when I got there to see, and I was the first black at this school, which was in an affluent district or area of the district. So you know what I'm talking about. When I got there, the black young males in the school, this was a middle school now, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, I saw several young black males, almost 16 years old, and still in the 7th grade. This is the truth.
I experienced it. I got a story for you too.
Yeah.
Go ahead, almost
16 years old and still in the 7th grade. My first day, and I'm going like, you all got to be kidding me. Now I'm the only person in the school, one of two, that look like my skin complexion. You understand what I'm saying? And here these young men, big enough to play for a high school basketball team, they're just that tall, with these little kids in the 7th grade, you know, half their size in terms of their tallness, walking around the school and had been retained 2 to 3 times. My question was, when I was asked to get up to address the faculty, and this is one reason why I went into administration right after that, because it bothered me to no end. In fact, it hurt. It really hurt. And I cried for these young boys. How in the world you've retained them this many times? What is it that you think they're going to learn a third time being in the 7th grade that they didn't get last year? And then what have we done as a staff to make sure that we're putting our arms around them to get them moving on to high school? And I raised so much, I'm a rebel, and I don't apologize for it because sometimes somebody had to say something, and I don't have a problem about doing this as you all who've been on, every time we have this show, I don't have a problem about that because my compassion is for the underdog, the person that's got the knee on the neck. You got your knee on the neck for kids. You might as well, if I'm anywhere in the vicinity, you're going to see me. And I'm going to say something. Because some things are just wrong. And this was wrong. And they prided themselves on walking around school where I had him last year. And I told the lady across the hall, I said, what is a badge of courage or a badge of honor about saying to a child who's almost 16 years old and still in the 7th grade that you had him last year? What's the honor in that? And I get upset every time I tell, and I'm getting upset, and I'm crying in almost tears now. And I just see them, and they were defeated before they ever got started. And one was just saying, Ms. Black, I'm going to drop out of school as soon as I can. I said, no, we're going to turn this around. And I raised so many questions about it that the district started a program where we jump-started these young men. We jump-started them and got them promoted to the 8th grade And then they could start, you know, do the eighth grade, then they were going to go into the 10th grade the following year, get their, you know, the outlines we had and guidelines we had for them to achieve. I started a group called the VIPs, very important people. And all of them were in that group. Those young men got into the 10th grade the following time. And, you know, today, one is an attorney and the other is a doctor. Hallelujah, somebody. But this was
awesome.
The start.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's what I'm talking
now
about.
Now, you understand what I'm saying? And, I don't believe, when I became a principal, I don't believe in wholesale retention. Only in the very extreme circumstances. Because my thing was, if you're going to retain a child or recommend to me as the principal of this school that you're going to retain a child, I want to know, first of all, the rationale for it and what plans do you have to remediate this child if this child, if I improve this retention. And as a result of that, and you can imagine, we didn't have many of the retentions because I was not for that. Unless it was very extreme circumstance.
And to add to that, Scarlet, I'm gonna tell you truly, as you speak about, and we and the program that I was able to more or less follow through and implement in a rural area, the last county I was retired in, we had students that was in eighth grade that may have been 17, 16 years old.
Yeah.
So we had a pool where they were, but we didn't talk about what we needed to do. We did it. And I'm going to tell you what we did. I'm so proud that we took time to do it. It's entitled Project Success. It's allowing those, not just boys, but girls, an opportunity to be successful. If you were behind 2 to 3 years, you was recommended for that program. And you was given that come to the class, come to this building, be there all day, working with 3 or 5 teachers and getting the hands on. Those young men and young women eventually had to pass what we used to call the old Alabama high school graduation exam, was eighth grade level. That was an entry exam. Our students did that. They went to high school because we could not elevate them no higher in the ninth grade. They went to high school. Many of them are graduates. Many of them are teachers now. Many of them are counselors. Many of them are doing great things. You got to have a plan. I know I'm not sending them on or, you know, just holding them back, but you better have a plan if you plan on sending them on. You better have a plan if you plan on holding them back. What we got to do is have a plan. And the plan of action we call Project Success allowed those young men, and some didn't make it. That's true. That's with everything. You got to understand, we can have 100% of everything, but if not, we're going to have in school 95% of everything you ask them to do. As Scarlet can give 5%, I don't care if you take them to the water, let them drink the water. They're still going to do what they want to do. But the thing about it, it was something you got to have a plan. If you're going to do this, have a plan. We don't want them to be removed from that grade level to another grade level and fail the next grade level. What plan do you have? Not just an 8-week program in the summer. You got to have a program all through the year to work with them and get them caught up the best you can. It requires hard work. It requires using the relief money like it needs to be used, making sure you can do that. If you're not willing to do that, let's not put children in a situation where you're just moving them up so when they get 17, they can drop out. We don't want them to do that because that puts them on the streets. You know, they're not going to be able to make it on the streets. So we got to have a plan. I believe in having a plan. But I want to talk about a plan. I need a plan.
My situation, the one that's with that, both of them, Lord have mercy, they stayed in touch all these years later. And the one that's the attorney, he tells people, he said, you know, the thing that got me through was the fact that there was somebody who cared. There was somebody in that school who finally cared. And
exactly.
Along with the remediation and the going back, trying to fill in the gaps that they have missed, it doesn't mean that they're not intelligent. It just means that there's some things that had to be filled in that were gaps that were never addressed. But the thing is, they got to know that you really care. Kids need to know that you care about what happens, and they need to know their parents care. because of all of that, I could never understand why the parents were not upset that their children were being retained over and over and over again. Why did I have to come in to care and do? You know, these weren't my biological children, but I love kids, and I love what I did, and I love what I do.
Where were the parents? That's right.
And we go on the show every time we come on, block by block. You've got to do your, you know, the parents out there, and we're talking to the choir with opportunity, you know, folks that tune in to us. But they know folks in their communities and churches and everywhere else they go, the folks, you know, people that are not engaged. We got to light a fire under our folks and get them engaged and get them fired up and ready to go about their kids and their communities and their culture and our culture.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do
that. Exactly. And that's what it's all about. This vessel will give you an opportunity. You can be a part of it, 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line so you can share your thoughts. Thank each and every one of those individuals joining us. We've had a couple of other individuals take time. We have Call Me Court 09 join us. B2Hack 0722 join us as well. Thank you so much for joining us. And that's what it's all about, being able to have a plan, put it in action, being holding yourself accountable for what you're doing. That's another thing. We want people to get out and speak out, but be ready to feel accountable that sometimes the backlash might not be the backlash you may be used to it, but you have to have something. And, you know, I know even on here, I get all kinds of, sometimes we've had to show people calling in and saying some crazy stuff, just trying to misdirect what we're trying to do. But you can't stop us because, you know, this ain't something you got to, man, have nothing. It's all about our Lord and Savior going to let us work block by block. So we're talking from experience. We're talking about making sure if we're going to move them, let's work with them. 8 weeks not going to do it. It's going to take continued week because they lost 15 months. 8 weeks will not cover 15 months, which I could never understand with a summer school. 8 weeks summer school is going to cover a person that failed and was in school for 187 days. You can call it 9 months or whatever you want to call it. You're behind that much, and you need to really be able to do something that's going to help you and have a plan and stop thinking just a summer school going, and then they're back in summer school the next year. They're back in summer school the next year. They're each year, but what are you doing throughout the year? What kind of programs do you have? I've seen several systems local that are doing some awesome things. Instead of everybody in the system taking on what that school is doing, everybody's fighting them. And I can't understand that. And they're having success.
Right.
We spend time hating each other instead of using. I go back to the program that we have. People that wanted to just strip it down because he was succeeding. You'd be young man that be on this show right here. He's a watcher. And he was one of the students in this program about 10 years ago. Now he's working in law enforcement now. He's looking to own his own security firm. But he was 3 years behind. Everybody had given up on him, but we didn't give up on him. We wanted to prepare him, and we followed him not just from when he got to high school all the way through high school. We were still having conference with his counsel. We were still having conference with his teachers, letting them know this is what he knows. Because you know what? We talk to them as individuals. See, the problem we have in education, people agree or disagree. We go in the classroom and want to teach a group. It ain't all about a group. It's all about individuals. So you have to find out what the individuals know before you can teach them. What is the problem with that? That's how we solve and be competitive and be in this game so we can compete with other countries with our education. We got to know individually what our children know and don't know. It's sad to say,
right.
Scott, you said something about it earlier, and we're going to move to another topic, or maybe two tonight. We're going to more than what we're going to get. You said something about the third grade. There's a lot of acts and legislative acts in play, 3 years old. 3 years old. Get them at 3 years old. Yeah, we need to get them at 3 years old, because when we're talking about building mega prisons based on third grade performance, you know what?
That's,
we got a problem.
That's how to project.
You know,
that's how to project.
There's a problem.
You're right.
And people got to realize it's a problem when you know that. And some people, oh, I know that now. That's been happening for 30, 40 years. Prisons are
that's
built
right.
based on third grade children's performance. Come
yes.
on now. Now, if you have a third grade, make sure if you got a cousin, niece, nephew, because we're talking about block by block. You got to take care of that home. Make sure they're on task, because I'm telling you, they are saying now, coming up in this bill that's going to be coming up, I know we're voted on, maybe in the state of Alabama, if they can't read at the third grade level, they can't pass on.
See, I'll
be
protesting right around the legislator's courthouse. You know, because and that is true about the third grade. In third grade, they can actually, you got people that do actuarial science that can project based on third grade results how many prisons that they're going to need in this country.
That's a sin and a shame.
So now if you got a legislator saying we're going to retain your child and they can't read on third grade level, well, they just added more cells to the prison.
That's it.
You got.
That's why they
want
to build mega prisons. And we have to really realize we got to get the grassroots level.
That's jobs for people who want to handle, you know, those behind prison bars. That's jobs.
And that's money. You know, each inmate is $30,000. It's $30,000 per inmate.
And everywhere you see a prison in the community, they got businesses up around the prison because they got to feed the guards and those come to see them and everything. It's a money thing, y'all. You know, so why in the world are we going to let folks continue to build prisons and add cells to the mega prisons because based on what happened during the pandemic? And now going to try to have legislation passed that's going to retain your children, our children. And when I talk about children, I'm talking about because they're all of ours. You know, I will be an educator until, you know, the day I die. You know, it's in
Come
my
on,
blood.
Man.
You know?
Come on, man.
And they're all ours.
Yes, ma'am.
They're all
Come
ours.
On, man.
And when they pass the legislation and the child can't read on third grade level, so they lost a year and a half in school. You know, it's a never-ending circle. It's like a hamster being on one of those wheels. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on and no way off. We got to continue to do block by block and find these ways to get off the wheel.
Awesome, man. I tell you, she's hitting it on the head because it's passion. You understand, you know, what happened to the passion. If you had a chance, I have a book out that published in 2017, what happened to the passion. What is the love? Where is the caring? Why don't we think about these things that we know need to happen? We have to be educating a child pretty much in the womb now, all the way out, making sure we're reading, making sure we're saying things. And we have to make sure we stay on top of it so we can better our life. We want to prepare our young people so when they grow out that our percentage of black males today, people can challenge me on that, percentage of black males are not in college. The large percentage of males in the other higher institution of learning. And you know what that is? Your state is the same as in our state. That's your prison, your correction center. It's where you got our black males at. But our females are in school. But however, what we got to make sure is that we got to reach down and make sure we speak out from the grassroots level. We got to start when they're young. We got to stop sitting back and think what they're doing is funny. It's not funny when they're being disrespectful. It's not funny because they always told me if a child is disrespectful as a child, he will be disrespectful as a man. You always keep it because if you hadn't been corrected on that behavior, you carry that behavior with you until your manhood or womanhood. So everybody have to remember that. We got a job. It's at the grassroots level. And that's what we're talking about. Are we at normalcy? just the few things we talk about. No, we're not at normalcy because we got so much work to be done. So much. It ain't all about a vaccine. It's more about getting down and buckling down in our homes to making sure that we're able to teach, we're able to help our young people learn, help them get the available knowledge so they can compete when they do get at their, not only that they're competing in third grade, we just say, if they can't read at third grade level, they're talking about legislation to keep them in the third grade. Come on now. Come on, people. We got to be for real here. Because if we don't, we're going to have an overflow. One of the things that Scarlet can tell you as a minister, as a principal, we determine our classes and setting up our schedule each year. But if we have a large fluctuation of kids repeating, that means we got to add one more woman. And that means we possibly going to lose one more unit ahead, meaning the next grade. So it's a number game, but the thing about it, we got to have love for one another. That's what we got to have. The passion you hear from the co-host, she's been on the field. She's been out there, boots on the ground. You are there with your children. You are there with your nieces and nephews. You are there with your grandchildren. Put your boots on the ground. Make sure they have the proper opportunity to be successful. That's what I want to share with you. Scarlet, we're at that time almost to wrap it up. And if one thing I do want to talk about, if you want to just share a minute on this, it was really stupid in regard to what we're going to, it's become political, and I don't want to get too much in that, but I want to say social. Should we separate COVID-19 vaccinated individuals from unvaccinated?
Yes.
Okay, the question is how are you going to separate?
I would have a B schedule.
Oh,
I would be doing
I'm talking about life.
Life. Okay, in life. Okay, I thought you were talking about school in life.
No. Life.
How are you going to know? Cause not going to tell the truth whether they're vaccinated or not vaccinated. How you going to know? The only thing you're going to be able to do, and that you and I have talked about for weeks now, Doc, is that we got to protect ourselves. And then we got to protect other people, you know. And even though I've been fully vaccinated, I continue to wear my mask and continue to socially distance because of these variants that are coming to the country that you're really not going to see here full effects of it, until the fall. You know, when we start going back inside. Right now, we're out in the open air with a lot of things.
Come on.
But when going back inside, you don't know what these effects are going to be when we start closing up again behind closed doors and getting ready for winter. We don't know. There's still a lot of unknown with this. So because it's still unknown, and a man that I was dealing with today, he said, well, he didn't have his mask on, he said, but I see you have yours on. And he said, and I will do what your preference is. And I thanked him. I said, thank you very much. Even though he had a plexiglass in front of him and everything. And he told me, he said, I had COVID. But, you know, I almost got scared when he told me that. But he said, I'm going to put my mask on. I'm behind the plexiglass. And you have your mask on, he said, because I'm gonna have respect for you. And I felt good when he said that. And he didn't look like me. You know, he was other persuasion, but that was very nice of him to do that. And that's what I'm doing in my practice with me personally. I'm wearing my mask. I'm socially distanced still. You know, so I'm taking the precautions. I'm washing my hands. And I like the soap and water. I put alcohol in my soap and water. And when I don't have that, I have my hand sanitizer. So I'm doing all that because I still think that we still have some more coming with this stuff because coming from other countries who have not actually had the vaccine or doing the precautions that we've been doing here in this country. So, yeah, right now, you know, folks lie. And they're not going to tell you the truth. You know, they probably won't even tell you one way or the other. You know, you just have to do what you know is best for you. And that's what I'm doing is best for me.
Exactly. And that's awesome, Scott. And everything's a personal preference. But just keep in mind, I like what she said at the end. The gentleman said, I'm going to put my eyes on the respect. It ain't about respect. It's about life. And see, that's what we got. We get to the point because we got into this next fight. It's about thy liberties, about a mask and all that. But we're talking about living now. Hashtag responsible. That's what this show is all about, being responsible. You can't not be careless out there. You have to be careful regardless of whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. And we got to remember, we went through some challenging times from June. It's just where everybody keep forgetting. We went through challenging times from June up until pretty much till we start getting a vaccine. People keep forgetting. Those were the challenging times because you know why? The first thing they said, you weren't going to be here long. The next thing they said, it don't operate in heat. But that wasn't true because our numbers were shooting up in June because of what? We had a large holiday that came on called Memorial Day. Then we came back with the 4th of July. Then we came back with Labor Day when we grouped up and we didn't have a vaccine. We were still grouping up. And we still grouping up with the vaccine or not. So we got a situation we got to realize, not about just because I respect what you, but I got to say I respect life. I want you to be able to live, and I want everybody else around you to live. And that's what from the beginning shall be. One life matter. Hashtag one life matter. We're going to preach that. We'll keep saying it. Everybody understand, I'm going to say it. Hashtag be responsible. Be careful, not careless. Make sure you wear your mask. Make sure you wash your hands.
Be careful, not careless. I like that.
And make sure you stay 6 feet away. Make sure if you have to stay at home, be at home. Bring one place that don't have ventilation. You haven't heard the message. Don't fight the message. Careful is not fear. Careful is control. I want everybody to keep that in mind. You can beg to differ with me. Careful is not being fearful. Everything in control of your life and the people that makes up your block, makes up your family. That's where the care come in. And let's be real and stop letting everybody manipulate you like they want to. Understand that you want to be careful even if you've been vaccinated or not vaccinated, because the same measures should apply, and they do truly apply. Even though they lifted certain things, you still apply. They still ask you to wear a mask. They still ask you. When you be in places that you don't have the ventilation, in the house, we can always walk with it outside. That's been from the beginning. So the point is, be careful, not careless. Because if you love your family members and love the adventure for us to get back to normalcy, some new normalcy, we have to be careful during these times. As Scarlett said, you know, we'll get a chance to be outside. Sometimes things one rapidly outside, and we don't even realize it. But when we get inside, we'll be still part of the fourth wave. And the fourth wave is it's said to come. You might not want to believe them, but it's coming. And we have people, children now. It's attacking children now. Children are going to the hospital. The numbers are rising now for children. Adults, all the level, we made sure we couldn't get to the children, so that. There is that COVID-19 is attacking our children now. So do you want to be the one, because you've been vaccinated, to become the care to your child? Because you won't. Just because you won't be responsible. That's my say. Scott, we're going to wrap it up right here, share your thoughts on as we close the show. And we're going to come back again in 2 weeks, and we're going to be coming hard. We're going to make it do what it do.
We come hard and we make it do what it do because we are being responsible and being compassionate and being caring for us as human beings, Americans, Black Americans, White Americans, all Americans, Native, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. We are our brothers and sisters keepers. I believe that with all my heart. And yes. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. and being with us. As you can see, we're realistic and we're compassionate. We feel this. This show exemplifies what we truly feel. This is no joke. This is no joke. This is real life and real life issues, as Doc says, that we talk about. And we're gonna be honest about it, and that's why it's called possible real talk. It's the real talk.
Yes,
so we thank you, and we thank you to the Sigmas in Greenville, Alabama, who are doing an outstanding job in your area and being the sponsors of the show and those other sponsors that are with us, and for the countries that have joined us. Where we're on, because he's going all week long with different things, and then we're on every other week with this show. We just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you all are doing and getting the word out and going block by block in your communities, in your states, your locations, wherever you are. We thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carter. Before we give a shout out to those individuals that joined us, I want to give a shout out to my sponsor. If you need legal help, call B.C. Williams Law, PLLC, Attorney Renaja Williams, and the number is 713-440-9083. She can provide you excellent opportunity to be successful in your legal situation. So check her out, Attorney Renaja Williams, 713-440-9083. Also, give a shout out to those individuals joining us as Stanley Price with the number one. Then we have B2 Hack 0722. We have Miss Bush NDS. Call me Colin 09. Also, we have the Korean _ Zeta. So the ladies of Zeta, if I made us morning, and Korean, checking us out. See, we all over the world.
All right, man.
That was in the blue and white.
Chapter.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, awesome. Then we have our frat brother, Lorenzo _ Fleming. Thank you, Brother Fleming, for joining us. Nikki _design 123. Thank you for joining us. And then we have our frat brother, Brother Daryl Baker, MCD Baker _1848. Thank you so much. We want you to make sure to get your cash out in, because what we're doing is giving away a trip to Orlando on June the 30th. Get your cash out there, and you also will receive a seed sown in your life. And I'll make sure you get something. If it takes you to lunch, buy your lunch, or just put in your pocket and get some gas in your car. But also, get that cash app in to me. You can do it through your message center, through Instagram. You can do it through the DM, or you can just email me at LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. Give me your cash app, and I'll make sure you put in that for the raffle on June 30th to Orlando, 3 days and 2 nights. We're going to take care of the hotel as well as the tax on the room. You are responsible for your travel, your meals, and anything else you want to get. Also, on the 15th of July, we're giving away 2 adult bikes in the same raffle. Those people are going to be put back in the raffle, whether or not. Put in there, we're going to raffle those 2 adult bikes off on July the 15th. You have that, we're doing it based on your cash out. Now, if you got a PayPal, send that to me. You know, send PayPal to me, whatever you have, Apple Pay, send it to me so I make sure I can put you and also sow a seed in your life. And then for August the 1st, you come in strong. You're going to come on with a 4-day, 3-night. So your choice is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, or Gatlinburg, Tennessee. If your name is selected, you're taking care of four days and 3 nights. We're going to take care of the hotel fee and the tax on that. You do your travel and your meal. We just want to give back to you. God is blessing us to be able to do that. And it's so good to have you. Give a shout out to Lil Tay Pickett. Remember, Delta C was the Sword Incorporated. She's also the founder of Inspire to Inspire. She inspires me with the things she's doing and going through. Cecilia Jackson, thank you for joining us as well. We also have Sharon Pressy, one of my former students out at McKenzie School. That's been a long time, Scarlett, back in the 80s, working as a young man back in the 80s. And she's one of my students. She's checking the show out. Thank you, Sharon, so much. Look forward to seeing you when you come to Montgomery. Give me a holler. It'll be good to see some of my old students and see how they're doing now and see them making things happen because, you know, they're not teenagers no more. They're not in their 20s no more. They're not in their 30s no more, Scarlett. They're not in their 40s no more.
Some of them are still grandchildren now.
So it's all good. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. It's been awesome to Divine Nine. Thank you for taking the opportunity in some form and fashion to be a part of this.
Yes.
If I didn't give a shout out to your organization, I will make sure. If I don't, all you gotta do is send me a message, let me know you didn't holler at my organization. I will, because you're listening, you're taking time to do this. It's all about taking care of the issues, at least talking about
them.
Right.
Divine Nine does great work. Collectively, Divine Nine, we do great work together.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. So we truly, truly thank each and every one of y'all for joining us. Scarlett, thank you so much. Love you for being the person you are, just making it and saying it how it feels. And that's what it's all about. We need a stand-up
person.
That's why we're brothers and sisters. We're going to make it do it. But it's been awesome tonight. And I want y'all to keep in mind, hashtag responsible. Be responsible during this trying time of our life. One life matters, as they can say. Communicate for understanding.
Yeah.
Talk to your family members. Tell them you love them. Give them a hug. If you can't do it virtual, you make sure, if you can do it face-to-face. If not, make sure you call them. Use the telephone. You know, they said telephone, and we'll leave it right there. That's the old saying there. Then also make sure you're ready to be able to grind it out. Keep on grinding is another hashtag. It's a mindset. And the next one we're going to add, let's be careful, not careless. It's been awesome being here tonight. We'll be on tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood, and we're going to focus on a relationship, you know, want versus need. We're going to talk about that in a relationship tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Then at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, we got the Dr. Lowe Show, another relationship topic we're going to be doing. So we're going to make this thing do what it do. It's been awesome being here with you tonight. I love you. I tell you, I am Dr. Lowe D. Smith. You have Sarah Scarlett H. Black joining us as well. We had an awesome time tonight, but it's time to get out of here. And I tell everybody, as I leave out of here, you know, as Scarlett and I leave, and I'm going to say this for both of us, it's truly, truly coming from my heart. Coming from my heart. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome rest of the night.
Good night.